Hello, hello, how are we all? Welcome, this is the FPL Banter Pod. My name is George. If I sound bunged up and snotty through this, I do apologise. I've tried to delay this pod for as long as I can, as I've got flu-y symptoms. Just bear with me, but lots to discuss. We are now on the final countdown. Yeah, this is it. This, you know, the last throw at the dice, whatever you want to call it. We're here, game week 38. Game week 37 was a success. The bench boost was a success, but only due to one player, which we will get into in a minute. But first of all, what I think we need to talk about, England. The announcements have been made. That's another reason why I kind of waited. Because I wanted to discuss that, really. As well as an FPL podcast, I like to have a little conversation on the football news and of the world. I normally do that on my TikToks as well. So if you want to watch any of them, George Day 1993 on TikTok. England announcement. And there was some shocks in there. And I'm kind of glad I've waited for at 10:15 this evening to record this pod, because if I recorded it at, say, well, even last night or 10:00 this morning, I think I would have sounded very heated and very annoyed about it all. And the more I look at the team, and first of all, at the end of the day, as much as we're, you know, I've seen jokes about, he's German, he's paying us back for the wars and you know, for the 5-1 defeat we gave them and beating them in the Euros and, you know, those kind of jabs and jokes. But when I look at it, at the end of the day, Tuchel is a Champions League winning manager. We brought him in because he's a tournament manager. That's what he is. That's what he's good at. He has experience in the Premier League as well, so he knows Premier League players. You know, he's got coaches all over looking at different players, and he obviously has a system that he thinks suits this England side. And, you know, we've got to give him the chance to replicate it. And let's go back. Let's go from defence to the forward line. So goalkeepers are fine. You know, Pickford's on number one. I think we've known that for a while. And then the other two. It is what it is. Leave that as that. The defence is a glaring omission, which it's basically what Tuchel wanted. He wanted players who can play both centre-back and left-back. Now, technically, Luke Shaw could do that because he's played in the back three for a fair bit this season for United. So I'm a little bit surprised he's not in. And I'm very, very, very surprised Lewis Hall isn't in. But again, Lewis Hall is an out-and-out left-back. I think he's left-back. And he had a good season. I know Newcastle haven't been great. And you know, his form did drop quite a bit. I didn't realise how badly, but Nicole told me earlier that he's actually had a crap last 10 to 12 games. Sorry, I just need to take a drink of my tea. So that I was really surprised about, considering he's put Jed Spence in instead. I think Tuchel basically said that Jed Spence has been in every England. He was in all three England camps in September, October, November. And to be fair, I like Spence. I think he's probably one of the highlights of that's what Spurs are this season. Although, in the last, since De Zerbi came in, he's benched Spence. So I don't know if that's more, he wants a more defensive approach. But then Tuchel said today that Jed Spence is actually good at defending and apparently he loves defending. So I don't know. I look at Spence more of a bolting up the pitch kind of player, but he can defend as well. The one that I don't get is the Maguire one, because I just think, First of all, he's never let us down in England's shirt. And Sebo Burr said, oh, he's getting on, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, he's done very well for United. He's done very well under Carrick's regime as well, by the way. And he's just a solid centre-back. And for me, I'd have Maguire over Dan Burn. I'd have Maguire over Konsa. Over Kwanzaa, not Konsa. Konsa and Gehi are in for me. I think they're probably... That's the only thing. I then think to myself, would I play Gehi and Maguire or would I play Gehi and Konsa? I probably would have stuck with Konsa, to be fair. But I still would have taken Maguire, purely for his experience, for never letting us down in an England shirt. Similar reasons why Jordan Henderson's going, for example. I've had a lot of people, so now we move on to the midfield. I've had a lot of people say, moan about Henderson. This is his seventh major tournament in a row for England. As a Brentford fan, and now seeing him... Before he came to Brentford, I was very no Henderson in England's setups. I just didn't like it. I didn't agree with it. But as soon as he came, I was like, what are we doing here? Like, seriously, I was just... But you've got to remember, at that point, we were losing Brian, we were losing Whistle, we lost Frank, and then all of a sudden, Jordan Henderson's coming in. So it's very like, what are we doing? And then I watched Jordan Henderson play, and the way he reads the game, the way he reads the midfield, I've never seen anything like it before on a Brentford pitch. I know, like, I've seen it from, you know, your Uniteds, your Liverpools, your Chelseas, your Arsenals. Like, I see Declan Rice do it all the time. But then Jordan Henderson actually came into our squad, and I was like, there was a game where I was just watching him, because I just thought, right. Because Lee boasts about him all the time, and I was like, right, I'm going to watch him. And he's always leading the team. And he's thinking of that next move. He's not thinking about what he's going to do now. He's thinking what he's going to do next. And he has that leader feel. And at the end of the day, we bring Henderson in. We're one game away from making Europa League football. Like, it's not a coincidence. He has had a few niggles, and that's a Henderson problem. Is he fitting that? Obviously, he's not going to start. Obviously, we all know that. He's not going to start World Cup games, so I don't think his fitness is that much of an issue. But he's essentially there as a player coach, in my opinion. Steve said it earlier, why don't he just go as a coach? And I presume the only reason is because he's still a player, I guess. that's been in a glaring omission. Foden being left out, I agree with. I don't think he's been good enough. I think he's been in and out on that Man City team all season. But then they put John Stones in, going back to defence, who hasn't played a game since October, yet he's got in. So, yeah, it's a weird one, that one. The one that I don't agree with, now I've had heated debates with Steve all week about this one, before the lineup was even announced, and is Cole Palmer. Now, Cole Palmer has not had a good season at all, you know, but he's had a few niggling injuries. He's had an issue with his groin all season, I believe. Then he had a hip problem as well. And he's dealt with a lot of injuries in the last year or so. So I don't think he's fully fit. I still don't think he's 100%. And maybe that's why Tuchel's left him out. Maybe he's just gone to him like, look, you're a brilliant player, but I don't think you're fully fit. Get yourself sorted out. Do whatever surgeries or stuff you need to do. Because at the moment, you're not playing to the levels you can do. So I think I'm trying to rationalise why he's not picked him. Because on his day, in my opinion, on his day, Cole Palmer is the best 10 in the Premier League. So I think on his day, he's better than Bruno. I'm going to leave that to sink, and people, you know, Steve and all that are probably going, what the fuck are you talking about? I just love watching Cobb, and I hate it because I hate Chelsea. I hate Chelsea in every fibre of my being. But there's something about Cole Palmer that I just love. And Steve went on about ego. He's got an ego. He's got this and that. I'm going to probably go down a rabbit hole and a little bit of a tangent here, so bear with me. Okay, Cole Palmer has a bit of an ego. So what? Every footballer, whether it's a big ego or a smaller ego, have egos. It's all about competition and competing. And to be the best you can be, there has to be a little bit of ego in you. Obviously, you can be humble and all that, you know, Haaland, be humble and all that kind of stuff. And I get that. There's a certain level of ego you've got to be in. Steve says he struts around. He doesn't look like he's bothering. Maybe that's because he fully can't. Maybe his body won't let him sprint up and down the pitch at the moment. Maybe he just has to stay in a certain area. Then when he gets the ball, we can try and make something happen. I don't know, but we have seen before how good Cole Palmer is, and I believe we will get that Cole Palmer again. He's still young. I think he's, what, 21, 22, something like that. And I think we will get the best Cole Palmer again. I hope it's not like a Dele Alli type thing where he just falls off a cliff. That one really surprised me. Like I said, I'm trying to rationalise it and sort of see where Tuchel's going. And I think maybe it's an injury thing. Maybe it's just you're not fully fit. We can see that. Go away. Enjoy your summer. Get yourself sorted out. And you'll be back for the Euros, for example. Sorry, I'm in another drink. Rest of midfield I'm happy with. Noni Madueke is the one I like, but if people have posted stats on, you know, Morgan Gibbs-White's been better than Madueke, Jarrod Bowen's been better than Madueke. There's something about Madueke, though, that will be good in international football. I think he's that kind of player where he will... He's a tricky player, and he doesn't... He's not quite the finished article yet, but obviously Tuchel sees something in him. I'm not sure if Madueke was around when Tuchel was at Chelsea, so I'm thinking maybe there's some sort of connection there. But again, I don't hate the pick. I think people are getting all uptight about it because, you know, Morgan Gibbs-White's had 18 goal contributions, I believe, and he's not in it. And Jarrod Bowen's had 10 and he's not in it. And Palmer has, you know, all that. But I do think he's an exciting prospect to have. And then the front three, which is Kane Watkins and Ivan Toney. Ivan Toney I'm really happy about. Really, really, really happy about. I generally, before that came out, I thought DCL was going to make it. And I was like, oh, here we go. Bloody hell. How the hell has DCL got himself a World Cup spot? It would have been like, you know, like when you used to get those cereal, like back in the day where you used to get your cereal and then there was a prize in every cereal box. That's what I felt like DCL was about to get. He somehow won the prize out of a cereal box, and which was his golden ticket to the World Cup. But alas, the coaches have told Tuchel to take Ivan Toney. He's obviously listened to him. And at the end of the day, I've had a few conversations about this today, and it's probably got under my skin again because he was a Brentford player. He left us not in a bad manner, so I'll always love him. And despite, by the way, Thiago doing better than Ivan Toney goals-wise, I still think Ivan Toney's a better player than Igor Thiago. The way Ivan Toney holds up the ball is very similar to when Harry Kane does it, when he comes a bit deep. He's that kind of player, and he's not better than Kane. I'm not saying he's anywhere near as good as Kane. That, you know, Kane is the best striker in the world at the moment. But Ivan plays a Kane way, if you like. And he'll be used to the temperature as well. I think that's another factor. And at the end of the day, Saudi League or not, he's scored 42 goals this season. Like, I don't think, obviously, the level of competition you're facing does have to come into it, I agree. But, you know, there's been other good players that have gone to Saudi who he's playing up against. It's not just, you know, amateurs he's playing up against. And, you know, you kind of... And 42 goals and 11 assists, by the way. So he can play that role as well. I'm glad he's there. I think he deserves it. I think if he was still in the Premier League, he would be in anyway. And, yeah, you know, I'm happy with that. And... Sorry. Excuse me. I do apologise. Where was I? And yeah, look, Maguire not being in, that's bothered me. Palmer's not being in. I've kind of got over that a little bit now. And Hall, again, I'm starting to get over it, but at the same time, I don't agree with it. They're the three I'm not happy with. But, like I said, Tuchel's a tournament manager. We have to wait and see how it goes and then go from there. I have rambled on about England for 15 minutes, so let's try and talk about some FPL. So, the bench boost was active. I got a... I should know, really, what I got, but anyway. So, I got 78, which is great. Bench boost, 78. It could have been better. It could have been a lot better. Dubravka, I was a zero. I didn't think he'd play, and he didn't. So let's go through it. So, Roos got me a three. Gabriel with a six. Virgil with a two goals, getting me a 14. O'Reilly with a two. Bruno with a nine. Should I tell you, how he didn't get more in this game, I will not know. And to be fair, I'm glad he didn't, because the captaincy could have hurt me. Trossard with a three, just a clean sheet point. So Bozola with a nine. So that was the move of the weekend, where I had two Sabozla assists and two Virgil assists. I felt it would happen against Chelsea, and it should have. But then it happened twice in this game, which I'm very happy about. My Everton punt on Ndiaye didn't go to plan. He got a two, but he does have a nervy Spurs side, so he will be staying in. Thiago, my captain, with a four. Wasn't great against Palace, and yeah, for a lot of this week, Thiago, spoiler alert, Thiago's been my captain for this week as well, just because of the how big this game is for us, and it's a must win, and Liverpool are just guff at the moment. It may change. If I know Haaland is definitely starting, of course, we didn't touch on that either. With Pep definitely leaving now, this is Pep's last game as Man City manager. So the boys will want to finish on a high. They'll want to give him a good send-off, a good victory. And Haaland, you know, Haaland being Haaland, will just want to get more goals, as he normally does. Who scored on against Forest in the last minute? No, sorry, Bournemouth. And then Gyökeres with the one, because he didn't start. And then my bench. So, my bench was Dubravka with a zero. Porro with a zero. Hill with a one, which could have been a six, by the way. A five. But then the man of the hour, Dango Atara, saving me with two goals against Palace. Which made my bench boost look like a success, even though it was just one player that really got me the points. So a 16 bench boost is okay. The minus four I took as well. So technically, let's say a 12 and then the score. Which is fine. Green arrow as well, which went to... So we're now 253k. So if we can get to a top 200k... I'll be okay with it. Obviously, I wanted a top 100k. I kind of blew it. I made silly decisions. I went all in on... The all in on Spurs was the one, really. That's what let me down. And I just had to sort of... It was a gamble, and it backfired massively at the end of the day. So we're not getting any more Spurs, are we, lads or girls? Right? Let's find out. Before we do that, we will discuss the table, because that is a big talking point, the FPL Banter League. That has stressed me out to no mean feat. So we will. I'm now second, fortunately. So we'll go from bottom to top as we normally do. So Andrew with a great, decent score this week. We're 64. He's on 2024, and then 105 points ahead of him is Fiona, in with a 72 this week and a 2021-29. Who, by the way, she is very happy. The Gunners winning the league, so congratulations to Fiona with the Arsenal doing that. And then this is mad, by the way. So eighth is Nicole with a 21.66. In seventh is Kelly with a 21.67. And then in sixth is Louise with a 21.68. So there's 1 point, well, two points between eighth and sixth. So the girls are going to have a lovely little battle trying to beat the other in trying to get sixth spot, or maybe even the fifth spot, if you know, because Steve, who is now fifth, on 21.85. So if one of them have a really good end to the season now on Sunday, then Steve could even go into sixth or even seventh. And Duncan, who's had a great few weeks, finished on a 62 this week. He is now fourth with a 21.99. Outside shot that you can maybe get third, maybe, but I think the three will be the three. So Rory is in third with a 2.226. I'm in second with a 2.230, and the lovely Claire is currently leading with a 2.234. So there is an 8 point gap between Rory, myself, and Claire at the top. So it's a triple threat, in if people don't know, it's a wrestling term, but it's a triple threat this Sunday between me, Claire, and Rory. I should have had this wrapped up. I'm annoyed at myself. I've taken a lot of hits this season, a lot of hits, and I'm announcing this now, so it's on the record. Next season, I will not take a hit. I just won't do it, because I've got trigger happy, and it's cost me the league, essentially. Now, I can still have easily win it. 100%, I can still win it. If I get the captaincy right, I can still win it. Obviously, if Claire captains the same player as me, then it's all down to my differentials to get me that top spot. So yeah, has it stressed me out? Absolutely, because we spoke about egos earlier, and some would say I have a slight ego. Slight, I'd say. I don't think it's massive. Steve would tell you otherwise, but I don't think it's a massive ego. However, I've talked a lot of shit of winning this league and how much it means to me, and they all know how much it means to me, so they pick on me for it, all of them, apart from Nicole and Louise, although Nicole's got a bit bantery all of a sudden, so there's a few receipts waiting for her at Fest as well. Louise and Fiona, they're the two that haven't picked on me hardly at all, so they're my good eggs. You have a lot. I've got receipts for all of you when I win this league on Sunday. So what am I doing Sunday? That is a very good question. So there's many, many ideas in my head. Now, I said about no more hits at the end of the season. So does that mean George takes one more hit? It's possible. It is possible I give Claire an 8 point lead before the start of Sunday. So let's go through. Let's go through my lineup basically. So we've got Roos in goal. Dubravka's not playing anymore. Roos got a Chelsea side who are just very hit and miss at the moment. Yeah, just wait and see what happens. Sorry. At the moment, I've got a back three of Virgil, Hill and Porro. So I'm benching Gabriel and I'm benching O'Reilly. Now, I think we will get City and Arsenal leaks before the deadline. I also think we get many more leaks as well. I don't think it's just, you know, City and Arsenal we get. Now, the issue with the Arsenal one is basically the title's done. The title's done, so Arsenal are going to rest. They're going to rest players for the Champions League. They just are. I know there's this narrative that they'll want to keep the rhythm together. I don't see it. I think the only thing they'll keep the same is probably the back line, because there's not much options in that back line for Arsenal. So Gabriel somehow, some way, will probably come back into my team. So it will be O'Reilly will probably stay out, I think. I think at the moment. I mean, at one point I had a 5-2-3. That's how bad it was. But at the moment, we're just going to stick with the back four. We're going to tell you what, we're going to change that now. change that now. So it's a back four of Virgil, Hill, Porro, Gabriel. And then a midfield three at the moment of Bruno Fernandes, Szoboszlai and Ndiaye. All three have something to play for, really. Liverpool don't so much, because they basically have Champions League football. Unless Bournemouth go and win 5-0, then Liverpool just have to beat us to make sure they have Champions League football. So there is still a little bit of incentive there for them. And also, with it being Salah's last game, Liverpool will want to go out on high. Similar to Pep as well, which is why Haaland is still in my team. And then a front three of Thiago, Haaland and Gyökeres. Now, Gyökeres, I don't know. See, problem is your guess is as good as mine, right? If I had to have a bet on either Gyökeres starting or not starting, I would put most of my money on Gyökeres not starting. And there's a few reasons why. I think he will start the Champions League final, for one. I don't think he'll go with Havertz. And Mikel Merino's back, who can also play in that role. Gabriel Jesus is also fit, who can play in that role. So there is no reason for him to play Gyökeres or Havertz. The league is done, as I said. if you have Saka, I put all my money you don't start. I just don't see it. I think he's injury prone a lot of the time this season. And I don't think he'll want to risk anything. He'll want to give him the rest so he's ready for that game. I think if you've got Gyökeres and Saka, I would sell at least Saka this week. And then on my bench, I've got Dubravka, O'Reilly, Dango and Trossard. I want to play Dango, but I just got this. I said this in the call earlier. I got this horrible, horrible feeling he's going to bench Dango like he normally does at big clubs away from home. However, we have to win. For Brentford to get have any chance of either Europa League football or Conference League football, we have to beat Liverpool and hope either Chelsea or Brighton don't win. That is literally our tale of the tape. So it's like, why don't you just go fuck it. We're gonna do what we do. We're going to play three up top. Blah, blah, blah. Like we would at home. Or is he going to bench Dango and try a front two of Charlotte and Thiago? Again, at the moment, I just think he sticks with that system and benches Dango. However, it's hard to bench him when he's just scored two goals. That's the thing. And the problem with Dango is it's not a case of, I'll start him because if he's benched, that's it. He will come on. That's the annoying thing. O'Reilly on my bench, again, if O'Reilly's leaked to start, then one of these will have to come out. And Trossard, I think Martinelli will start ahead of Trossard, so he's going. So, what transfers are we looking at? Gyökeres is basically simple. It's either Bowen or it's Richarlison. Or again, if a leak comes out that Solanke's starting ahead of Richarlison, because Solanke is now fit, Solanke will come in as well. So it's one of the three. It's one of the relegation boys. Whoever scores stays up. That's what it feels like. Bowen's not been great recently. He's not been doing a lot for West Ham. But if there's a game to get him, this is probably it. I'm just not a big fan of Bowen. I never have been, really. He's a great player and he can make things happen just like that. But then with Richarlison, he just pops up out of nowhere and scores a goal. And that's what he does. If De Zerbi said today that Solanke's not going to make it, Richarlison's in. 100% Richarlison's in. So, yeah, it's either one of the Spurs strikers or it's Bowen. So, that will have... Again, all these decisions will be probably decided at... So, the deadline is 2:30. I'll probably be deciding these transfers at 2:28. That's not an exaggeration. Genuinely, I will be making these transfers at 2:28 on Sunday afternoon. Now, I said earlier that I may take a -4. Now, there is so many ways I could go here. Again, it all depends on leaks, right? So, for example, if Foden is starting, or Palmer, I will go there, I think. Because Cole Palmer and Foden have missed out, like I said earlier. And I just got a funny feeling Palmer just wants to go, do you know what? Screw you for not picking me. And he's just going to get a goal or two. I don't know. It just feels like that kind of game where Palmer's just going to just turn up and score two goals and like point to himself to basically go, yeah, this is why you should have picked me. I just got this funny, funny feeling with it. The problem is Palmer's done nothing all season. So really, just because he's not in the squad shouldn't make me want to go down that road. The punt I really want to make, right, is James Maddison. He played 20 minutes against Leeds. He looked really good. He played 30 minutes against Chelsea. Again, looked really good. And it was part of a build-up in a goal that I think they should have scored right at the end. If Maddison was to start, I genuinely believe he'd get a return. Honestly. The problem is Maddison's minutes, and they're managing it very carefully. But you just kind of sit there and you just go, this is it now. This is your last chance. You need to get something today. I'm talking as if it was today. To keep Spurs up. And he spoke about it. He spoke how Spurs shouldn't be in this position. And he's literally going to give everything to make sure they stay in the Premier League. And I just feel they've played him. I feel like they built his minutes up to then go, right, this is the game you start. This is the game where you play 70, 80 minutes. I don't think he does a full 90, by the way. I think he will start and play 70. Now, the other option is I play Tell, who has looked electric. He scored a great goal against Leeds the other day. If I want to go down the Spurs route of that midfielder, he is probably a safer bet than James Maddison. James Maddison is essentially a shot in the dark, hoping that he's the one that gets me first place in the Banner League. After that, the other option is Somerville, maybe, or even Mateus Fernandez is a shout. Other names I missed out is Kroupi in the Gyökeres position. If Bournemouth do win by a high score, they have a chance of getting Champions League football. The other option is Villa have to lose. And I think Bournemouth, if Villa lose and Bournemouth win as well, I think that's also a route for them to get Champions League football. which can also happen. So I don't hate a Kobe pick either. And he will start, so there is that as well. And he scored the other day, and he's just a good little player as well. So that's an outside shout as well. If you held a gun to my head now and said I've got to make a decision, I'm probably, if I don't know the lineup, I'm probably going with Charleston and I'd take the punt on Madison. I think I would. I think I'd go with Charleston and Madison. If, as I said, if the leaks come out and, like, let's say Madison's bench but Foden's starting, I may just get Foden again. If Madison is starting, if there's a leak that comes out and Madison is starting, I'm doing it. 100% I'm doing it. And then maybe that's all I do, and then I just bench Jokeres and I play either Dango or O'Reilly and hope they start. That is my option. If there's a Spurs leak that Madison is starting, that's the route I'll go down, because that's the person I want if he's starting. It's a fairy tale. It's a romantic ending, really, in terms of Spurs. And I think he's the key that will keep him up. But I think in order for him to do that, he has to start. So I'm going on a bit of a football romance here that Spurs will stay up and they'll beat Everton, and Madison will be front and centre of that. If a leak doesn't come out, I will probably bottle that and get a guaranteed 90-minuter, which will probably be Somerville. I don't hate the Somerville pick, to be honest. So I may go like Somerville or Charleston as well. But again, if a leak doesn't come out about Spurs, I'm not sure I can go down the Richarlison or Solanke route, because you just know if I pick Richarlison, he'll be benching Solanke to start. So it's all about leaks. So basically, my message to you, if you've got Twitter, keep refreshing it, because leaks will come out. If you're in the Slack, make sure you're on it, because we will post on there if a leak does come out. Yeah, this one you just have to wait till the deadline, literally to the second of the deadline, to then do your transfers, because it can just go horribly wrong. And, you know, I could end up with, if I was to start Haaland, O'Reilly, Trossard, Gabriel, there is every chance that all four of them are benched. Every chance. That's pretty much it for me. I'm rambling 38 minutes now. Captaincy, again, it's all to do with leaks. If you held a gun to my head, I'd probably put it on Haaland, presuming he starts. I think they'll want to end Pep's career on a high. And I think, you know, Villa will be drunk. Literally, they'll probably be playing drunk. And Haaland, you know, he'll love to get a hat-trick on the last day for his manager. If Haaland wasn't to start, if there's a leak that Haaland's benched or something, I probably would go Bruno, because you're guaranteed an assist from him. One assist and he breaks the Premier League record. So there is that to factor in as well. If you do want to captain a West Ham or a Tottenham player, I don't hate it. If you want to captain Thiago, I also don't hate it. Because as I said, it's a must-win game. The only thing with Thiago that's putting me off, he's just been announced for the Brazil squad. So I do half think that maybe he won't put as much effort into it as he would normally. I hope that's not the case, but I kind of understand at the same point that his dream is more to be able to represent Brazil in the World Cup rather than send Brentford to Europe. Which I get, as I said. It will probably Haaland or Bruno, unless I feel really, really brave. And if I know Madison's starting, I might actually captain the Madison. Not going to lie. I know this has not been much help, to be honest. As I said, wait, look at look at Twitter Sunday, all day Sunday, before 2:30, see if there's any leaks come out, and wait for then. However, a message to Rory and Claire, and Steve, by the way. You know what? Let's go down memory lane here. So, the Banter League was created this season. We never actually properly created it last season. I think I won it last year, but we didn't, like, announce it as a big thing. I can't quite remember. I'm pretty sure I won it last year. But anyway, the group got bigger. More people came into it. And we made it a serious thing. it's just a normal league. And Steve, you know, I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to take everyone out. I didn't want to, you know, batter everyone to smithereens and FBL. And Steve made it personal. He called me out and he challenged me and all this jazz. Said, "Yo, I'm going to finish above you. I'm going to win the mini league." La, 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 la. And he was doing very well, to be fair, Steve. He was a great competitor. I mean, he copied me for 60% of the season, but to stay that way. And then as soon as he stopped, he went down the line. So we had to call on Claire to come at me. And to be fair to Claire, she's done very well. Very, very well. She's always in the FPL Manager of the Month, like leaderboard, like literally every month in the last 3-4 months, I think. So, you know what? Credit to Claire, because she's had a wonder of a season. Rory came in late in. I forgot how good it was at FPL, because if he went in, it would literally be a straight shootout between me and Claire. But yeah, look, at the end of the day, Steve got you in this mess, Rory and Claire. Unfortunately, I'm still here. The Tribal Chief is still here, ready for that WrestleMania main event. That big main event is coming. The Superman Punch is coming to obliterate you all and win the FPL Banter Mini League. Excuse me. Thank you all for listening all season. I will do an end of the season review pod as well, probably around this time next week. Really sorry, my throat is literally dying. Thank you everyone. I love you all. I love you all, especially in the FPL Banter group. You're all amazing. Can't wait to see how this season finishes. Love you all. Green Arrows.